Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Parents, adults who love our kids, have an ear to hear the voice of the Lord coming through your children. Have an ear to hear it. So it wouldn't be like Eli, who took three times to realize it was the voice of God speaking. I'm serious. Let's be attentive. Let's have an ear that is inclined towards heaven and listening for the sound of heaven coming through our children, so that we can identify it for them and we can help them latch on to the voice of the Lord. We can help set that filter in them that says, I can hear Jesus. I can hear him speaking to me. I can hear him speaking through me. I don't have a little Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We have just a reminder. Parents who have kids that are old enough to go to kids camp, that's coming up soon. There's a deadline coming up May 22nd for this. Kids camp's going to be July 29th this year. This is an amazing event. Kids get baptized in the Holy Spirit at this event. They come to meet the Lord there, and they have people who just love them and walk them into that, starting that relationship with the Lord and encouraging it for those who already know him. This is a powerful time. I highly encourage you, get your kids going to kids camp. We have a wonderful children's ministry here, and we're so blessed that they love our kids the way that we do. Do you know like a third of our congregation goes downstairs? Just looking at the stats on this, it's like a third every week goes downstairs. We have to see our children as part of our body here. They're not junior members. They are members of the body of Christ. This is what we're going to do. Parents and those that are guardians over our kids, we're going to say the Aaronic blessing over our children this morning. So put your hands on your kids right now. I'm going to lead you through this. Look, we have pastors, we have ministers here that love your kids, but nobody can take the place of you as parents over them. You actually have spiritual authority over your children. You're a gatekeeper for them. You can release blessings and you can release curses over them. Let's choose blessing, okay? Let's guard them from the other things that come in. You stand in the gap. So here's what you're going to say. Repeat after me. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
And be gracious to you.
And be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you.
The Lord turn his face toward you.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Father, for these children. And Lord, right now we just bless them with peace. We rebuke chaos, and we speak peace and good order over them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Kids, please walk to the back of the room and go downstairs. Be blessed today.
Love you, bud.
Just a quick note, we don't have the teens meeting today. You guys are going to be in here with us. So this is your regular scheduled program. Hallelujah. Lord's been talking to me a little bit about what he's wanting to bring forward this morning, the atmosphere he's wanting to create. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit's been stirring us recently here? He's been stirring stuff. I got a word from somebody the other day, last week, and it really encouraged me. Talking about how the Lord's stirring things. And who's ever been in one of those circular pools? It could be a circular hot tub. It could be an out-of-ground pool, but it's circular. Ever been in one of those? It's a kid, and every kid at some point, a group of kids gets tempted to start a whirlpool in that pool. I love doing that. It's so much fun. right? And you start pressing into that, and you start churning that thing, and you're really having to work at it, forcing your way through the water, grabbing onto the sides and pulling yourself along, right? And you're really having to work through that thing as you get starting to get that thing stirred up. But do you remember once you got that thing cooking? And you're just running around the edges of that thing, right? And you can even pick yourself up, pull up your legs, and you just get scooted around in that and carried around in that current. And that's what the Lord's doing here right now. We're in the midst of that pressing into Him, pressing into those waters and starting to stir that thing up. Because as we put this effort in, engaging what He's doing among us, we're going to see that stuff become more easy and everything's going to start getting opened up in whole new ways. And before you know it, we're going to be riding this thing. And I'm so excited for what the Holy Spirit is going to do, because it is His glory, His efforts, His power that's going to make things happen here. And so, Father, we are just so thankful to You for what You are doing. I got a strong sense this week that there's folks that are coming here this morning that are carrying huge weights, that they're seeing the things that they're facing in their lives and they feel insurmountable, literally impossible. Like you're up against impossible odds. I don't know all the details of what's going on in everybody's life, but somebody here, or there are somebodies here that are just staring down impossible odds. You're facing major challenges, and it looks like destruction is impending. There's real fear and anxiety in that. You might feel like your welfare could be threatened right now. And these don't have to be obvious things that a lot of us see. These could be things that are not so obvious, maybe only you know about. But the focus of where you're at right now is on what is before you, what you see in your face. And hear me when I'm saying this. I'm not minimizing any of that, because we face real problems, real situations, real hardships in our lives. They're tangible, they're visceral, and they actually affect us. Okay? And God knows that. So I'm not minimizing any of that. But what I want to speak to you about this morning is about how great God is and about how He overcomes these situations and the opportunity that He's laying before us this morning. I'd like you to go with me, turn your Bibles or turn on your phones or wherever it is, and go to Exodus chapter 14. This is the part of Scripture where it talks about the crossing of the Red Sea and what leads up to it. Now, when you start out in chapter 14 here, you see that God actually tells Moses to do a maneuver. He actually tells him to move back a certain direction so that Pharaoh sees it and says, wait a second, they don't know where they're going. They're wandering in the desert. They're confused. I'm going to go attack them, and I'm going to bring them back. God sets this thing up. Does anybody remember that? A couple of us, right? He actually sets this thing up. It wasn't like they just got out of there. They went to the Red Sea. Oh, no, what are we going to do? We can't cross. He actually has this maneuver for them, and He's leading them with the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. And He's leading them, and as He's doing that, He has them do this maneuver because He wants to draw Pharaoh out, because God is going to show how powerful and mighty He is. And He's showing the nation of Israel, and He's showing all the people around there how great He is and how mighty. So He feigns confusion. God is never confused. He's never confused about our circumstances. He's never confused about how He's leading us. He's never confused about anything. But He leads them in this maneuver, and when He brings them to the Red Sea, oh no, what happens? Pharaoh sees this, and here's what he says. He says, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So here's how he arrays himself against them. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. So he gets his entire elite force and everything to go back and get them. He invests it all. He just slides it all forward. I'm going all in. I'm taking them back. And so he chases after them. We go down into verse 10. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They were terrified. They had just walked out after all these plagues had hit Egypt. God led them out, and all of a sudden, here they are. And they start, this is where the groaning begins. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. They're like not even across the Red Sea yet, folks. This goes on beyond that point, right? But here's where it starts, okay? They are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They've got the Egyptians, they are surrounded, their enemy is surrounding them. These are their oppressors, those who've stood against them for generations. And Moses answers the people, he says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. This is a powerful word right here. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We go into verses 19 and following. This is the angel of the Lord who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. So God starts arraying himself, and he sets up his cloud. They can't come through. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. The Lord is fighting for them. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. Uh-oh. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, none, not one of them, survived. Not one of them survived. That and here in verse 30, that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Wow. These Egyptians you see today, you will no longer see anymore. They saw some Egyptians, but those ones were dead ones. God had taken care of their enemy. He had destroyed their enemy. And they didn't do anything but walk. Walk where he led them to. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. God provides a different economy. God's reality is superior to our reality. We see what we see, but it's not the superior reality. It's actually the inferior reality. Here's the story of Elisha and his servant. This is in verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? How do they know everything that's going on here, basically? Who's the snitch? None of us, my lord and king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. What? Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots, a strong force there. Horses and chariots sent after the man of God. Weren't there horses and chariots sent after the people? Stop sending horses and chariots after the people of God. It's a bad tactic. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, the army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "What shall we do? The horses and chariots are surrounding us again." "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Could you imagine seeing that? Wait, they've surrounded our city. Those that are with... Nope, I don't think there's more here. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. You go on to see that Elisha actually leads them into Samaria, into captivity, has the Lord open their eyes again, and now they are captives. And the king asked them, "My father, should I kill them? What do I do with them, my father?" He tells him, "No, we're not going to do that. Feed them, water them, and we'll send them back." They have a feast, and they're sent back to Aram, and it changes everything. Aram doesn't attack them for a good while after that because they showed them grace. But look at this. What God was doing in this situation superseded the circumstances that were around them. God has an economy that is beyond our economy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God knows what the forces look like. But his army of heaven is arrayed against those forces. Why are we talking about this today? We're facing trials in our life. We're facing this sense of being surrounded by an enemy. We're facing that feeling of destruction that's impending. Like there's no way out. It's an impossible odds that we're up against. And God says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." Psalm 23. I love this psalm. Oh, too far. Many of us know this one. It says that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. If you get all the way down here, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." If you're with your enemies, do you think you have a table to sit down and eat at? Do you have time to take a time out? Did you come with a banquet table to dine at? No, but God says he's going to set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. What's that about? We have our reality that we're in, and we span both realities, both this present reality and also the heavenly reality. We have access to the kingdom, and God provides an economy for us in the midst of our challenges and our trials. He provides grace for us to get through. When he talks about rest, he's talking about respite. He's talking about taking a step back, almost like taking a time out, an intermission, a refreshment in the midst of our greatest challenges. His grace is there to meet us there because he's the one who's taking care of it. He wants to fight the battle for us. He wants us in faith to come and surrender to him in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our trials, and say, "God, you've got this. I don't know how to do this. I can't even encounter this. I can't even touch this thing. It's too big for me. It's too heavy. It's too powerful. But I'm yours." And we come under him in that situation, and we find rest in the midst of our trials and our circumstances. the economy of heaven superimposes over our economy and changes it. Think about Jesus in the midst of that storm. He's sleeping in the boat, right? And they're freaked out because there is impending doom, and he's taken a nap. He is at rest. And what does he do? He says, when he wakes up, "Peace, be still." What does he say to us? "Be still and know that I am God." What did he say to the Israelites? "You don't have to do anything, only be still. Be at peace. Know that God is the one who's going to do this. He is the one who fights the battle. Even the enemy recognizes that it is God fighting against them, not him, not us." God wants our eyes to be on him. He wants our eyes to be on him. He wants us to seek him and acknowledge and praise him for who he is in the midst of our great trials, whatever we're facing, whatever we're facing. You may have been here before, but you never have an opportunity like you do today, this day, to praise him in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your circumstances. They have the opportunity, and we have an opportunity in every single one of our trials and every single one of our challenges and every single one of our devastating circumstances that we find ourselves in. We always have an opportunity to reach out, look to him, and cry out to God for mercy, for help, to look towards heaven and say, "Lord, you're going to do something because I can't do anything." And we have an opportunity to actually tune into the frequency of heaven and begin to resonate with it. Tune into the frequency of heaven and resonate with it. Resonate with what God is doing and saying, "Lord, I just ask right now for you to access your kingdom right here and transform this situation. I need your presence because I don't have it in me." We live by faith and not by sight. We see what's around us, but by faith we access what is not seen, the unseen realm, our Father. Now, when we talk about faith, it's not faith that good things are going to happen or faith that bad things aren't going to happen. That's basically optimism. It's faith towards God and recognizing that whatever he is going to do, he is going to do. We can't make him do anything. But it's faith towards him, knowing that he is good, knowing that he is faithful, knowing that he is loving, knowing that he is caring. He knows our circumstances. Jesus climbed on the cross for us to pay the price for every single challenge that we have in our life. He paid the price for it. And his power is resident in us who believe in him and come to him. When we cry out to him, he is there with us. We've talked about this in the past, but worship is warfare. Worship is warfare. And this morning, we have an opportunity to go to war, go to battle with what is holding us back, resonating with God and allowing him to come in. So this morning, we're going to go back into worship. We're going to have an extended time in worship. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but God knows what's going on in your life. I don't know what it is that's surrounding you right now, but God wants to shake that thing. He wants to defeat those Egyptians. He wants to tell you these Egyptians that you see today, you're never going to see again. Only he can do that. We can't do that. What we can do is surrender to him and look to him and praise him in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our storm, and say, "Lord, I trust in you," and glorify and magnify him for everything that he is, who he is, what he's done, knowing that he will do, again, more than we could ask or imagine, because that is who he is. Wait on him and praise him today. So these guys are going to lead us back into this, and we're so thankful for the wonderful talents that you guys have, helping us to access that sound of heaven. So I'd encourage you this morning to focus on the Lord. And whatever it is that you've come in here with this morning, whatever it is that's surrounding you this morning, whatever it is that you've seen with your eyes, I'd ask you to lift your eyes to Jesus and praise him no matter what it is that you're going through. Because his grace is sufficient for you today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you'd like to do time at the altar this morning, we're going to have some of our prayer team. We're going to be off on the side here. If you'd like someone to pray with you, they'll be able to pray with you. But if you'd like to just kneel here before the Lord, just come up to the altar and praise Him. We're going to go back into worship, and we're just going to hang out there for a good while. All right? Amen.
You give life. You alone. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Every heart that is broken, great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore. Every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our